Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery, and I'm excited to share with you that we've created a new series. This is a topical series where we've taken previously recorded clips, compiled them by topic, idea, and particular concepts within the infinite banking footprint and the financial world broadly. Topics will include loans, loan repayments, paid up additions riders, other riders, dividends, long-term thinking, what could go wrong, what does go wrong within the infinite banking footprint. And I hope you enjoy listening. And it was created for your edification. Thank you.
Earlier middle November of 2004, when I quit my job there, quit working for the bank and went full time in real estate investing. What I needed to do psychologically, this was just for me, James, I needed to have 18 months worth of bill paying ability in my checking and savings account, right? Knowing that I had 18 months to be able to create, make more income, future above and beyond, before I was willing to go out on my own. So that's, once I reached that 18 month goal, I cut loose, went into it, and I was doing fix and flips, went through that financial crisis in 2008. And this will lead into the whole infinite banking concept of why it's so important and why it's so powerful too. Is what happened is, during that financial crisis, all the banks froze all credit lines. They cut everything, home equity line of credits, business line of credits. If you didn't have it fully used, you'd lost it, right? You lost all that ability. But for the people that had these policies, these insurance policies, you're able to tap into them and utilize them when they needed them. So I actually borrowed some money from other investors who I later found, I didn't know where they had it at the time, later found out they had used it from their life insurance policy. Yes.
No way. Well, you know,
Yes, I did not know that initially, but that's what I found out later. So I started borrowing from them that, and I didn't really dig into or know anything until I met you. I think it was, James, in the year 2014 or 2015 at a conference in Dallas, Real Estate Investing Conference, we met, we talked. I want to learn a little bit about it because I heard you speak there and you gave me the in-depth. I'm like, all right, I got to do this. This is right up my alley. I got to take advantage of this. So that's kind of what got me started into the journey.
Perfect. Well, look, you know why the banks closed the credit lines, limited the credit lines and called notes and did all that? In no way.
No, tell me.
Because they can. And they're not taking the risk of loss.
They don't want a risk, right?
They don't want any risk. And that reminds me too, when you talk about banking, and I didn't know you had a banking background, right? So you went from an underwriter to a loan salesman, basically is,
yes.
No disparagement, but that's what the vice presidents of banks do, right? Lending officers. Then I think there's three or four C's in the banking industry. I can't remember the fourth one, but it's collateral, cash flow, and character. I can't remember what the other C in banking is, right?
I'd be credit.
Oh, yeah, credit. There you go. Yeah, the four C's of banking. Oh, that's interesting. And so I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know your banking background. Yeah. And then here you are borrowing money because of the third-party lenders are tightening up their strings, yes. And you borrow money from, fellow real estate investors. Well, how and when did you find out where they were storing their capital to lend it to you?
So I think I met him at one of these real estate investment meetings out in the suburbs of Philadelphia, where I was living at the time, a DIG meeting, and it's the biggest group in southeastern Pennsylvania. And I met a few private lenders, and that's when I got my first private lender loan. And that's the first person who told me that they utilized that. They also use their IRA, obviously. Sure. They might even had a self-directed, a solo 401k type deal. So they use multiple sources that they've used to do that. And that's when I first heard about it. I honestly, though, James, didn't know what it was still at that point, because we're going back into 2009, 10, 11 timeframe before I met you, a few years before I met you there. So that was still a whole new concept with me. I knew all about the IRAs and borrowing against your IRAs and all that. But there's a lot of limitations with the IRAs, a lot of government involvement where, as you explained to me, there's really not the government involvement in these life insurance policies that there are in the IRAs, the 401ks. You don't have those same limitations. You can pull it out for any reason whatsoever where, if I need to borrow from my 401k or my IRA, it's got to be for specific things, such as like whether it's real estate or whether it's health or education. You know, that's pretty much what you're limited to.
And 50 grand or 50% of the value.
50% of the value, which is the big key thing, where like life insurance is more than that right from jump, you know, after you fund that account and wait a little period of time, at least 30 days or so. Yeah. So you already got more than that jump right there.
And the loan request at a life insurance company is nothing more than a service form, right? It's a multi-purpose service form. And there's no place on there. Do they ask you what is the purpose or the intent of use?
Nope.
There's nothing. Here's the loan. This is the amount that I'm asking for, and send it to me. The only thing that they really ask you, and it's a series of, you know, check of boxes. Do you want a check or do you want it directly deposited? Yeah. I mean,
it's so simple. I literally go online, get the form, make the loan, boom. And within, you know, 4 or 5 days, it's in my account. It's really quick and simple and easy.
Yeah. And the life insurance companies, some are faster than others, but they're trying to get into the 21st century, right? So they're, all of that can be done online. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So that was had to be a moment, and you're like, oh, so this is a new entity that these people are drawing from or against to lend money. So did you spend much time thinking about life insurance, that concept, when you heard about it in Pennsylvania? You know,
so I started to dig into it. You're right. Nelson Nash's stuff. So I started to dig into it. There wasn't at that time a ton of it on YouTube, right? You didn't have a whole lot of information on YouTube back then on that particular thing. I think there might have been a newsletter or two that talked about it, and they called it the infinite banking concept, right? Which we've all heard about. And might have called it something else too. So I heard about there. My grandmother showed it to me. I read a little bit about it, but it wasn't really until I met you that I got a little bit more. I got basically, you know, if you put the equivalent of cryptocurrencies, you get orange pilled by Bitcoin. You gave me the red pill, right, on the life insurance policy. So I totally understood it. You put it in plain, simple English, which is funny though, because I tried to speak to a lot of investor friends of mine about this. For whatever reason, they can't wrap their heads around it. And I don't know why. It almost reminds me of, so my minor in college was economics. Finance was my major. Economics was my minor. And I remember being in economics classes, a bunch of like the higher end ones, like labor economics and some of these other ones. People were lost, and I just didn't understand why they were lost. And I guess it's a similar thing to that. I think they're just overthinking it.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. Because if you're struggling in whether it's macroeconomics or micro, you're overthinking it, and you're not looking. I mean, the concepts are pretty basic and simple. And this is really basic and simple to me.
Yeah. I'm a real estate investor, and that's really how I've used my life insurance policy, is just to that cash value I use to flip. I use to make the down payments, and then it's just a rinse and repeat. I really use it like a line of credit, mm-hmm. and it's really nice because it's so flexible. And I can honestly say it has been a saving grace for about 2 properties, because if it wasn't for the policy, I probably wouldn't have gotten those properties.
Well, can you expand on that, those 2 deals?
So pretty much, even with hard money, there's a lot of lenders that can close fairly quickly, to be honest.
Sure.
However, there's still some type of documentation that's needed from the lender. There's still conversations to be had. And in real estate investing, sometimes you need to know within hours if you can put an offer in. And so I think that's where it really played a role in knowing that I have that cash available to me and I can just pull it out quickly. And so I think that's just that flexibility, timing. That's right.
On both of them, timing?
Yep, that's right.
You know, the office building that we're sitting in, and I've talked around or a little bit here and there, but we were next door. This, was empty for a minute. And the bottom line, we're sitting in here because of the access to capital that I had. And there was an offer, you know, I made an offer, they made a counter offer. And then my counter to their counter offer was, yes, if you can close within 10 days, calendar days, not business days, You know, so the first one to the deal with cash wins. I don't care how bad everybody, cash is trash or whatever you want to say. Cash is king.
That's right.
My opinion. Okay. So, and so you're still active in real estate.
I am.
And so you flip and do you buy and hold too?
So right now, just because of the market, I've just kind of transitioned. Me personally, I've made the decision to transition out of flipping and specifically just staying within the buy and hold.
Mm-hmm. Is that because of the cost of capital and just the market as far as prices of properties? And I got to say, me personally, I'm not, I mean, it's like the amount of people that are, you know, flipping and, you know, do all kinds of things short term, just turn the cash, turn. I mean, there's a lot of them. And I don't necessarily want to use the word competitive, but it's competitive, you know, and you've got, anyway, so when did you transition out of flipping?
So we're in 2024, so about a year and a half ago is really when I made that hard transition. I did a couple of flips last year, but not to the extent that I had before. And then this year, there's no flipping.
Not even interested, huh?
No, not
so,
at all.
Is this your, you know, local market, or do you buy all over the country or the state? Or
no, so typically all my rentals and flips have been in the Texas Panhandle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little towns up there.
Absolutely.
So Lubbock, Amarillo.
So really Plainview, Tulia, Amarillo. And so... funny, I would have investors saying, like, why are you investing in these small towns, the appreciation? And I'm like, I have no competition in these small towns. Like, no one's buying in here. Right. And so it's just been my area that I focus
on. Your little sweet spot,
yep,
right?
That's
there.
Right.
Is that where you're from, out that way?
Originally, that's where I'm from.
So you're comfortable with the market and, yeah.
Yep. And also just even knowing the communities that you're investing in, that makes a big difference, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Okay, so you've used the infinite banking concept, you know, in your real estate. You use it kind of like a line of credit, just the access to capital. So if you, like on a fix and flip, you know, there's a, you know, of course a purchase price, and then there's all of the cost to getting it ready to flip. And when you did deals like that, how did you address your loan repayments? You know, you paid premium to create the cash value that mm-hmm. you can leverage, collateralize to go buy the property. Did you have a system, or have you developed a system where? And so my question is maybe more narrow. Whenever you did a fix and flip, Did you set payments up, loan repayments between the purchase, the repairs, and then flipping, or did you just do lump sum?
Lump sums. So I would pull the cash out, and then once the house was sold, like flipped, sold, then I'd pay it all back in one lump sum. And I was very intentional about making sure I always paid it back.
Yeah.
And yeah, rinse and repeat.
And then now on a buy and hold, I think you said you've used it for down payments, mm-hmm. right? So do you, it is none of my business. And you don't have to share anything that you don't want to, right?
Yeah.
Do you use, and you mentioned hard money lenders, and I get that on flips, you know, without it, you know, it's just part of the deal a lot of the times. But when you buy and hold, are you using conventional third-party lenders or hard money lenders, or what does that kind of look like?
Yeah. So, typically in the past, I would always have flips going on, and then simultaneously I would be buying buy and holds. And with this one, I always had private money, and then I would use my insurance policy to either put the down payment, or if I needed to do some repairs, mm-hmm. and that way I could get a tenant in. So I would do it that way. But since I actively had flips, I always used that capital to pay that off. And so that was the beauty of kind of doing both of them at the same time.
I gotcha. And then with your buy and hold, do you How do you address, or do you, have you created an idea or, you know, a form? It's really form to cash flows, kind of what I call it. But what do you do with repairs and insurance and taxes? Do you use your policies for any of that? Or
no, to be honest, I don't use my policy for that. I think I really look at my policy as just liquid cash in a sense, and mm-hmm. I use it to acquire the properties, do quick repairs, and then pay it right back, and then move on to the next one and use my policy. Just
I got it.
Yep.
I mean, you keep accumulating real estate, and the tax bills are going to continue to go up. They're going to continue to go up anyway.
Yes.
But they're just, it'll be on an exponential curve with more properties. Same as insurance in Texas, OMG. And then, you know, the repairs are what they are. So, and I ask that because everybody does something different. You know, you walk into a room full of 100 different people and they're going to be doing 120 different things.
That's right.
And then their perspective and their activities change, you know, just like you're, I mean, it's part of life. And so it's very interesting to me the way people use their policies, you know. And like I said, that changes over, you know, time.
Yeah. And I would say even to that point, I think that's also the beauty of having this infinite banking system is you can have 100 individuals using it 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. You can't say that about a lot of other loan products specifically, right? So even when you go down the hard money, it's either it's for a new build and you have to use it for a new build mm-hmm. and you have to show that you're using it to build. There's disbursements and you have to prove what the disbursement is for. And so that's the luxury and the beauty of this system is you can have 100 people using it 100 different ways. And that's great.
Y'all didn't fail to pay your premium. You were continuing to pay your premiums and the loan repayments when you were, you know, borrowing against the cash values, which, you know, there's no magic in loans, right? The magic is what you do with the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't go anywhere in the free world and get a loan without a loan repayment, without an interest rate. So if you value the another lender's money more than yours, that's an adjustment that should be corrected. All right. So if you were paying the credit card 18 or, you know, the home mortgage at 3 and maybe you're borrowing at 5, you should at least pay if it's an 18% rate that you're paying on a credit card, you should make your loan repayments at 18%, in my opinion. And if you've got a home mortgage or a note at 3 or 3.5 or whatever it is, and it costs you 5 to borrow against cash values, you know, from the life insurance company, mm-hmm. just the mere fact that one note is amortized over 30 years and the other note is amortized annually, you know, there's a difference in amortization. So if I borrow money at 5 and I'm resetting every time I make a loan repayment, that note recalculates, right? Mm-hmm. So every time I make a payment, it is not front loaded with 90% interest. And when you go through that math and then you see it in your own activities, you kind of look around and you know, I don't care. You're going to pay the taxes on that withdrawal anyway from a 401k.
I want to just address something you said, because this is another hurdle I had to get past, is because I had so many practitioners say, you want to pay more interest. For example, you're borrowing from your life insurance policy, and let's say it's 5%. And a lot of practitioners would say, when you borrow money from it, pay yourself back at an 8% interest rate. That to me, it made no sense at all. I'll just say that. That didn't compute with me. But when I realized I'm really paying 5% plus I'm paying the 3% is an additional premium money I'm doing, then that made perfect sense to me.
Right.
But that I had to view it in a different light than that it was interest. I had to view it, okay, I'm paying the 5% interest because that's what the loan company, the insurance company is charging me. But if I charge myself 8%, that 3% is really just adding to my bank. Yeah. And I love adding money to my bank every chance I get.
Right. And Nelson would say that the additional interest, I believe it's on page 59, that additional interest is premium to the life insurance company. Right? We're calling it additional interest on the deal that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it is additional capital to your system.
Right.
You know, and then
if it's which you can work with later.
Absolutely.
You can use it for something else.
Exactly. Because you're buying, and that additional interest should go into paid up additions. Mm-hmm. When you pay a PUA premium, you're buying paid up death benefit. The death mm-hmm. benefit increases. And then with the additional premium, future dividends increase. Not only in that year, you know, if I paid an additional $1,000, for example, into a policy that I own, I'm going to have $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 in death benefit increase, mm-hmm. depending upon my age. But that additional $1,000 is going to cause my dividend to go up this year mm-hmm. and every year into the future. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not impossible. It's difficult to demonstrate that and illustrate that, but it can be done. And when you see that, and then when you experience that, yeah. it's to the point where, you know, I don't care what my credit score is, and I don't care what the bank interest rates are, and I don't care what the stock market is, none of which I can control. But I can control what I pay in premium, you know, limited yeah. by, you know, capital and income and all that. But if I put it there and I had the choice to put it there or put it here into this life yeah. insurance policy, it's going to the life insurance.
You remember, policy. I think it was 3 years ago, the stock market took a major hit.
Yeah.
And I texted you and said, James, how much money did I lose last night? And you came back and said, nothing, which I knew that. I just wanted to let you know because I understood what was going on and I was comfortable when the stock market fell. It didn't bother us at all.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have anything into it. And I'd like to bring something else up I forgot to mention earlier. When we took the money out of the 401ks and IRAs and all that and took the tax hit and used it for to finance our bank. If you do that, that's a scary thing to do.
Yep.
But you're doing it with the attitude of taking that money that you're bringing back home, so to speak, and you can't just put it in the bank and let it sit there and draw dividends because that's not nearly as effective as taking that capital you have and putting it to work for you to make more money for you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea of capitalism. And by buying those notes that we did, we're putting that money to work because now we were capturing the interest. But let's say you didn't owe anything and you were debt-free to start with. You could now take that capital out of that you're from your bank and you could use it to start a business. Or you could use it, if you know, to buy more real estate, or you know, something like that, to put it to work to make more money, which will far outrun the amount of money that would have been made in the 401. Again, not financial advice because I'm yeah. the last one in the world you want to get that from.
We're just telling what we do.
Just what we did. Yeah. You put the money to work for you that will make more money than what it was sitting yeah. in the bank.
The financial freedom piece of it. And so the not-for-profit that we have in South Carolina called the Patriot Project, you know, for us, a patriot is accountable and responsible for themselves and theirs.
Yep.
So and everything, their family, everything that comes after that, not the government.
Right.
And in order to do that, you have to set the financial foundation to be able to take care of whatever comes, not think your parents are getting too old and you're going to send them to some old age home that the government's paying for, or you know, somebody in the family needs help and, well, they're going to go to the welfare system. It's not the way this country was set up. It's shocking comparing what I see in this country and what a citizen thinks they deserve compared to other countries that I've been in that
well put.
Have so much less,
yeah.
but they're not walking around protesting or they're not upset because they don't have the latest iPhone and a television.
No, hell no. They're coming in here trying to get a $450,000 check is what I hear. All right, so let's be positive, all right?
Yes,
all right.
Positive, back to positive.
Okay, so how's it going now, you know, with your real estate and your infinite banking concept? Banking, quote unquote, type policies. You know, surely are you fully engaged and active with real estate, or you know? And I don't want to know great details or anything, but just kind of bring us up to date. So, you know, military, beans and rice, Dave Ramsey. You know, your mentor to the young airmen and their families.
and then mentor in the real estate, mentor in the church. I mean, you're a pretty good servant, you know, is what I'm saying. And then you're doing it and leading by example from your family. You know, just expand maybe a little bit on, because even distribution of age classes, you continue to expand there. Are y'all engaged with real estate with these cash flows? And I mean, you mentioned earlier, kind of, you did the numbers, $10,000 a month going out, and 63% of it was interest. I mean, yeah. That had to be shocking. I'd have had a heart attack and fell off the table. So I'm just saying that surely you've set about correcting that, right? And
absolutely. And we, as I say, we use private lenders as well. So we team with private lenders that they're making 0.001% on their uninvested funds. So they can make a good rate of return lending to my team. Mm-hmm. And then the way we help in the local market is we help prevent foreclosure. So the housing counselor and me, I was just door knocking 2 days ago. And so for families in San Antonio that are in the geographic region where we're located, we'll go out and door knock, talk to them face-to-face, tell them that we help families that are having challenges with their lenders, that we're our housing counselors or former housing counselors, and oftentimes that can help get action for the homeowner with the lender who may not be speaking to them inappropriate ways. I'll put it that way. And so we help families get loan modifications and stay in their properties, and we get some nice referrals. We have some families that they can't fix it themselves, but we can still help them avoid the foreclosure. So that part works well. We are using our IBC policies to buy our debt back so that we're keeping it inside of our financial system. I just had a call from a physical therapist as I was driving up here yesterday, where there's a military member at the hospital where she works that wants to buy, but he's having challenges. So and he's a soldier, so there's part of my military family I expect to talk to when I drive out here later today to help advise them on what would be smart as far as housing in San Antonio right now. So that kind of stuff happens on a daily basis. Through the NNI website, my very first referral was an active duty tech sergeant at Lackland Air Force Base. And that was awesome, because I want to get to the active duty individual. So Brandon's already put a policy in place for himself that protects him, and he's excited about insuring his wife, and she just completed college. So she's working to get employed now, but as soon as she's got a steady paycheck, she's talking about putting a policy in place on herself, and they've got a 12-year-old daughter. So that part's exciting. I'm talking to retirees about the transition to the Veterans Group Life Insurance, right, or not.
That you went through.
Or the service, what's the Survivor Benefit Plan. That's another program. Yeah. And to help educate the military, wherever they are, on the front end or the back end, on financial intelligence and home ownership, or as a retiring, on the transitional life insurance, or how to provide for their family when they die. And so there's income that continues to come in for their family. That all of that stuff fits right in the sandbox I've been playing in for a lot of years. So that part's awesome.
Right. I mean, beyond banking, I mean, banking is just one thing that you can do with dividend paying whole life insurance policies issued by mutual companies. But you can really bank with anything. You know, you can bank with cash, you can bank with cows, you can bank with farm equipment, you can bank with CDs, you can bank. Banking is a process, not a product, right? But while you're solving these financial, for these financial needs, you can practice banking too. It's a beautiful tool, in my opinion.
We're doing some real estate. Lori's doing she's a designer really by talent. You know, and so we were doing some staging and lots of different things, and we've evolved to where in North Carolina, and we've got these wedding venues that we own, and we're staying busy, and we're trying to grow the business because you know we want some financial freedom. But what happens is, once again, where are we putting all this money? You know, am I going to keep putting money into a vehicle that I can't get a hold of? You know, mm-hmm. You know, where do I get the money? How do I get it out? Can we use it? You know, for years we took loans out on our 401k all the time, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, we were kind of sort of advised that was a no-no, but we did it anyway because it made complete perfect sense, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, who's to say whether we did well with it? I think we've done well with it. I could show you on a piece of paper that I believe we've done well with the decisions we've made, but still it wasn't the real freedom that we needed with our money. So I started looking, and I remember I was looking on the internet and I saw this thing about be your own banker. Okay. And I thought, be your own banker. How the heck is that going to happen? You know, so
just has a nice ring to it.
It has a nice ring to it. It really did. And so I look, and it was one of these little, I don't know if it was like a click funnel thing, but I ordered the book and I got the book. And I don't remember what it was. I remember it was Be Your Own Banker, and it had the picture of that vault on the front, you know. And I read it, and I don't remember really what. All I remember first time I read it was that, hey, it's kind of a weird concept, you know. And then you butt up against the whole thing about whole life insurance because you've been told all your life that term's the way to go, you know the Dave Ramsey stuff, right? And so. Anyway, so you go through that process and you read it, and I put the book down, and I was just joking with Julie back there. I said, hey, you know, I don't know where that original book's probably in some thrift store somewhere, you know, because it probably got thrown out or something, you know, because I was like, okay, so I let it down, right? And so a year goes by. I remember it's about a year, and I started picking up that whole, all right, we gotta figure something out with this money, because now we're getting to be successful in our business, and now I've got like money. It's like I've got a lot of money in the checking account. I can't sit there. I can't have it in the bank somewhere, you know. So what are we going to do with it? So I go back into looking at the stuff. I see it again. I see some guys talking about it on the internet, some other of the noisemakers out there. And then I order the book again and I read it. And while I'm reading it, somehow I get kind of filtered into you and what you're doing. And saw some of your videos, and it all kind of sort of came together, right? So I thought, okay, so it gave me, I read the book with a whole different set of eyes, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I read the book, and I came to a point, because I'm getting ready to retire. They're, you know, the feds force us out at 65. But, you know, Lori and I are...
You're barely 55. What
dude,
do you
mean? We're young, man. You know, we feel good. We feel energized, you know. We're you know, I can't imagine us... not doing stuff, you know, and not just being workers, but being really principal folks that are innovators, and we're the thinking part, you know, and we're kind of leading these younger people that we've got into the future, you know. So anyways,
that's a doer in my book, you know. And I didn't, if I can interject here, sure. I didn't really give the background. I mean, a pilot, six children. They have several wedding venues, and I mean, the latest was a winery. I can't wait to talk about that. And then real estate, you know. So there's a lot there. I mean, doers, actually doers, salt of the earth people, like I said earlier. So I just want to interject that. I mean, they're doing it, right? They're doing it. Okay, sorry.
So I guess for the listeners and for everybody out there, you know, one of the things, and I'm sure there's a lot of them out there that are in the same situation I was. We had term insurance that we bought 20 years ago, right? And I got a note, it was probably last year?
Yeah.
That, hey, it's coming up due, right? It's 20 years is up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I still remember when we went to the office and talked to that guy about that whole thing, you know? So it made me feel old, you know, but then it made me feel, oh my gosh, we got to do something here, because I never really thought about retirement. There's no retirement. What are you going to do next? You know, yeah. All right, we can't fly airplanes anymore, but we can run the venue. We can do the winery. There's so much out there that we're excited about and want to do, you know? So I kind of sort of came to a situation where I had some problems I needed to solve, you know, and one of the thing was I needed to solve the life insurance problem, you know, the death benefit problem, because, you know, if something happens to me, you know, who's, you know, I like to think I bring a lot of value to the organization, you know, the next 20 years, you know, so what is that supposed to look like, right? Second thing is we've got this cash situation. I need to put this stuff somewhere. It ain't going in a bank.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.